Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, it is my pleasure to spend time with you to share those sparks to be a positive solution in your life, have that positive change in your life. It is Teacher Appreciation Week here in the United States, and it's a great time to thank someone who has served as a teacher in your life, whether in a classroom, in school, or informally through tutoring, through maybe it's a favorite aunt or uncle who was always there to answer your questions about a particular subject. It's a great time to say thanks. And interestingly enough, excuse me, I had someone else talking in another ear. It's also a sad time on one hand because several Upper Bound programs in the state of Iowa recently learned that they would not be refunded. And so tonight we're going to talk about Upward Bound, which is a federally funded grant program. We're particularly lucky to have with us the director of the Luther College Upward Bound program. That program has been in existence for 46 years, and it was one of the original grant programs. And it has touched so many lives, including mine. I spent nearly 20 years on staff with that program. So tonight we're going to talk about the successes of the program, and we've invited a number of alumni and students to call in and share their stories, their successes, because it's about celebrating the difference that that program has made in so many lives. And I've got some messages to share from people who couldn't be with us tonight. But first I'd like to start introduce you to Phyllis Gray and let you hear from her about the experience, particularly with Luther, and what that program is about and how it has indeed made a difference for so many people. So I'm very grateful to have Phyllis. She's not only the director of Upward Bound, she's also my friend. Phyllis, thanks for taking time to be with us.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So for people who are unfamiliar with Upward Bound and what that program is about, can you talk a little bit about the goals of that program?
Well, Upward Bound was designed to help low-income and potentially first-generation college students complete high school with the skills necessary to be successful in post-secondary education. So that means going to a community college and finishing a certification so that they can get a job, and or going on to a four-year school to complete a Bachelor of Arts or Bachelor of Science degree. And for some of our students, it also has meant going on to professional schools, like becoming a doctor or a lawyer or a pharmacologist.
Awesome. And so what kinds of services are provided by the program to support those students?
Well, we do tutoring each week with our students. We have a contact person that goes out to see the students, to talk to them. This particular go-round in the grant writing, we also had to add a component that dealt with financial planning so that our students would become more financially literate. So that when they do get out, they will understand not only about their loans from college, but they'll also learn about how to save and how to be financially secure with what they are earning and how to use that in their own family's best interest. We also
if I remember correctly, you were doing that even though it wasn't necessarily a required component for the grant that was part of some of the courses and some of the support materials that were provided for students.
Yes, we did. We also provided our students with over 150 courses that they could choose to take during the summer. Now, they couldn't take 150 courses, but their choice, they had a choice of that many to fit into usually anywhere from 10 to 12 class sessions that they had over the course of the six-week summer program, because they took two classes a day. We also did small group learning during the morning. We called it Academic Strategies and Skills Group, and primarily what we were doing with those students during that time period was to have them work on their basic skills so that they could raise their basic skill level, their knowledge of what all of that entails. In recent years, we've added a math club, a book club, a writer's block to that time period as well. So students, small groups of students up to 10, would all be reading the same book and going through the same study guide. And so they would meet weekly to discuss the book and what they had gotten out of the book. And then the math club, the students who wanted to be involved in the math clubs took additional, class time in the level of math they were having the most difficulty with or the level that they wanted to prepare themselves to do well in the next school year. Writer's block, what we did with that was that different staff members who liked certain kinds of writing. We had comic book writing. We had essay, prose, poetry. Oh, what was the other one? Science fantasy writing. And so a student could belong to any of those groups and begin to create for themselves their own piece of work or refine something that they had already been working on.
So in the summer, if they were participating in that residential component where they were attending the six-week session, they had an opportunity to do a lot of academic skill development with small group support in that morning block, that small 1-to-4 or 5 student ratio, right?
Yes. And also we had a section that we called class-specific instruction. And what class-specific instruction was, we looked at what is most critical for the different ages of high school students to know and to be involved in learning about. And for the students who were rising ninth graders, they were in eighth grade the previous year, and they're coming into their ninth grade year, they took a study skills course. And so they learned about study skills that would be necessary for them to be successful in high school. If they were a sophomore, they took a course in personal communication. A lot of times students aren't able to articulate for themselves what the problem is with a situation or how they got themselves in a situation. I mean, how many times have you asked a teenager, why did you do this? I don't know. Well, what we try to do is get them to understand that if they think about it and they can process it a bit, they will know why they did it. They may not necessarily understand it, and that takes further discussion, but they begin to understand that what they do as individuals impacts other people and also creates the response that they get from somebody. If you say, that teacher hates me, we ask you to look at what your behavior is in that situation to that particular teacher. And then you begin to see that, yeah, the fact that I walk in her class and spit my gum across the room has a negative effect on her. I need to not do that. We also talked to our students about being able to communicate with their instructors. I had a student who was taking a Spanish class, and she said the Spanish teacher never called on her and would never answer any of her questions. And so we talked about what was it that she wanted out of the Spanish class. And she said, I have to take this class because I have to have a foreign language to get into college, you know, to maybe, you know, get some of those college kinds of classes that are prepping me to be a college student out of the way. And I said, does your teacher know that? And she said, no. And I said, tell your teacher that. So she told the teacher that she was taking the course because she needed a foreign language for college. And she could not learn where she was sitting. And so the teacher then changed her seat. And she said after that change, the teacher would call on her, would answer her questions when she had questions. And so it developed a different kind of attitude in the teacher, attitude in the student. They began to openly communicate with each other. And so that's what our freshmen, who have just finished their freshman year, that's the class that they take, learning how to communicate with their parents, with their friends, with their brothers and sisters in a more positive way. For our sophomores going into their junior year, we have them do a career exploration course. And this career exploration course, they look at three different careers. They'll do a career assessment, and they'll look at their top three careers and begin to look at what their skill set is, what their interest is, and which one of those groups of careers they might feel comfortable in learning, want to learn more about, and then encourage them to volunteer in those particular areas when they get back into their home community. And if they need help setting up like a job channeling or something like that, we also help them do that. We also remind them to keep track of this information because they'll use it again the next year when they're juniors going into their senior year, where they're going to be looking at applying to colleges, doing college essays, doing scholarship essays, as well as taking college visits. Several of our students have said in the past, if it hadn't been for ECHO, which is called Exploring College and Career Opportunities, I would not have had a jump start on my college search. And as they watched their friends panic because they needed to have an essay for a scholarship, and all of our students had to do was go on their flash drive and tweak the essays that they wrote during the summer. If they hadn't had that opportunity, they felt that they would have been behind their classmates. So we do a lot of stuff like that. We also have recreation. We do leisure. We teach them leisure activities, things that they can do when they don't have anything else to do, because a lot of times they're looking for somebody to create fun time for them like they did when they were little and they couldn't play by themselves. And so we try to give them, help them develop those skills where they can do activities that are going to be very positive for them, that they also can do as part of a community.
And it is a very, very full schedule. One of the things that, even though they didn't seem that they had a lot of free time, or they would say they didn't have a lot of free time, one of the things they remember most is all the opportunities that they had as students in the program. And I was very grateful to learn to improve my teaching skills as an undergraduate in that program, and then after teaching for 2 years, returned to work full-time in the program. And so all total, nearly 20 years, I had the opportunity to grow as an educator, to empower students, and to see the value of the program. And it's exciting, the connection that even today, that we have, those of us who worked in the program, we still have with those students who are now professionals, who from time to time will comment on a lesson they learned, or did you remember when, you know, I used to complain about, I'm so glad now that I did that. Opportunities that these young people would have missed because they're the group that could often fall through the cracks in the education system. And the Upward Bound program provided that additional support with caring adults who were committed to the success of those students and believed in them in a way that they had, many of them had not experienced from other adults, at least initially, because for many of them, not all, their talents were yet to be discovered. They were the middle-of-the-road students who were not necessarily troublemakers, not necessarily A students, and we had the whole range in the program. They're the ones for whom they gained confidence in their ability to learn and in the opportunities available to them. So in celebrating that, I am going to give that phone number at the moment so people can either share stories or ask questions. about the current situation. And if we don't have any right away, I have a couple situations, questions for you fellas about the current situation after 46 years at Luther. But that phone number, for those of you listening who are excited to call and share how Upward Bound has made a positive difference in your life, that number is 347-215-8390. And I will watch for those calls to come up. We also have a chat room open. So if you're listening on the computer, you're welcome to type in a question or a story. And as I said, I have a couple that were shared on Facebook today. And I told them I would share with you on the show because they weren't able to be here. And so since I'm not seeing a call right now, Phyllis, can you talk a little bit about the current funding situation since you just learned this week about the results of the grant process?
Well, what happens when a program writes a grant is that you are given you're given an application, or you actually go online anymore and get the application, and you write about what you are doing in your program. You write about the need for the program in the communities that you serve. You also say what are you going to be doing? How are you going to be interacting with parents, interacting with people in the community, with the schools, and how you can best serve your students, and why the services that you provide for them, it would be important for them to have. You must keep in mind that we work with low-income and potentially first-generation college students. A potentially first-generation college student means that neither parent has graduated from a four-year college with a Bachelor of Arts or Bachelor of Science degree. Now, some people might say, oh, well, that's not, that doesn't open up anything. But it does. A lot of people who have worked their way up through a business don't necessarily have a college degree, while others in their business would have a college degree, but because they've had years of experience, they kind of have gotten experience on the job experience that covers what they would have gotten with the degree. Well, we have to write it, then they get a series of three people to read it, and those people then grade it. You have 100 points. And so you can get up to 100 points on your grant. And what they grade you for is unknown to us, because the federal government says we give them a list of criteria, things that we are looking for that you must hit in this particular grant session. They don't really tell us that, okay, they tell us how many points each section gets, but they don't say we're going to weight this section heavier than this section. Or we know for sure we're going to specifically be looking for this language. They don't tell us things like that. This particular go-round, they also told us what the objectives we had to meet had to be. And so they gave us those, and we were simply to say how well we felt we could meet them. And how, we had to be aggressive, and we had to explain to them why we thought this was aggressive in terms of the area in which we live and work. So that's the readers read, and then the Department of Ed, if you're a program up for refunding, the Department of Ed gives you what's known as prior experience points. And the prior experience points are based on how well you met your objectives over the last grant period, and that can give you up to 15 points. This time they also added three priorities. The three priorities were to help you kind of say, this is what I would do in addition to this. One priority was, how would you help raise the schools that are on the persistently lowest achieving list? What kind of activities would you provide for those schools that could raise them or get them off of that list? One was, how would you interact with parents? What would you do, how could you create a good parent program? What would you be doing to do that? And then the third one was, how are you going to use your data to create a longitudinal to do longitudinal studies, but also to have your data drive your program if something isn't working, then how
I'm going to I am going to interrupt you because we do have two people who are who have called, and we can come back and talk about the grant. But so the two of you that are on the line, thank you for holding, and we will get to both of you. Our first caller is from area code 563. So your line is open. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Melanie Phillips, this is Nick. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome. I just wanted to call in and just first say thank you for everything. I'm one of those people that I went through the program the entire time. And when I first came in, there was quite a lot going on in my life. My parents had just gotten a divorce earlier that year. And me being the oldest in the family, I got to be the referee between all that. Outside of that, just before the end of my eighth grade year, I had gotten both my legs broken. So it was a huge shift in my life. I literally came to Upward Bound in a wheelchair. And, you know, it was just a huge development point for me. It was an experience that broadened my horizon on every single level in terms of people I knew, in terms of the paradigm that I had about high school. Like, a lot of kids feel like this is all there is. And so when they're in that position, it makes them a lot more desperate. And a program such as Upward Bound helps them to understand that there's something beyond right now, which for a lot of first-generation college students or, you know, lower to middle-class rural students is huge. So it made it an awesome, positive impact on my life. I could be a lot more long-winded than that, but I think that pretty much sums a lot of it up.
Well, thank you, Nick, for calling. And just for right now, I know you did go to college, got your degree. What are you doing now?
Well, I went to Columbia College in Chicago, and this is important because, again, had I not gone Upward Bound, I wouldn't even know this college existed. Phyllis's nephew, Teddy, went there, and when I heard Art College in Chicago, I mean, my ears perked up. I did the research, and I went. I graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Advertising Communications. Since then, I've done multiple different graphic design projects internationally. I started up my own entertainment company for different musical artists out in Okinawa. And I'm enjoying an awesome career over at GoDaddy in Hiawatha right now.
Awesome. Nick, I'm so glad that you took the time to call and to share how Upward Bound made a difference for you. And I hope that you'll stay connected as we're going to talk a little bit about some possible next steps. So thanks again very much for calling. Have a great night, Nick.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.
Absolutely, ladies. Thank you.
Caller on area code 773, your line is open. Hello.
Hi, this is Megan, calling from Chicago. I just wanted to call in. My sister, who also went to Upward Bound, let me know that you guys were doing the show, so I thought I'd come in and give you my 2 cents and half a quarter. I would say that Upward Bound made the biggest difference for me in the trusting in my own abilities. I remember sitting in the cab with Phyllis when I was talking about what colleges to go to and how was I going to be able to write these daunting papers that were 10, 15 pages long, and how was I going to succeed when I had such a hard time succeeding in high school. Not that I wasn't smart, but that I didn't believe in myself. And she had told me that you basically just take perspective A and perspective B and find perspective C and then do the opposite. And that philosophy has stuck with me ever since. And today I am a massage therapist, which was the opposite of what I went to college for in some respects. I went to school for theater dance. But I am also a playwright, and I'm starting to get my productions up. And so what I used to write was dramatic, and now I'm writing comedies because nothing's funnier than the opposite. So Upper Bound gave me a perspective on myself and about finding a perspective that I wasn't getting from any other teachers because, you know, I was the smart kid, but I was the troubled kid, and I was the mousy kid, and I was the kid that was too much work. And she spent hours upon hours sitting, talking with me, and helping me critically think about myself, myself in relationship to the world, to my work, to school at the time. And her philosophies and the philosophies I learned at Upper Bound, the skills I learned at Upper Bound, the way to study, how to break information down, all coming back to that, you know, that big skill of critically thinking through any problem has given me a much more successful life than I think I would have had if I had not gone to Upper Bound. Plus, I don't think I would have had nearly as many friends as I have now, some of which I've known since Upper Bound.
Thanks, Megan. Phyllis, did you have any questions for Megan?
Well, thanks, Megan. And say hi to your mom for me.
I will say hi to
her. And your husband, too.
Yes, and the baby.
And the baby. He doesn't know me quite so much, but he will.
Okay, love you.
Love you, too.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, I'm also going to take a minute to share one of the stories at this point. I'll give that number again for people who are wanting to call. It's 347-215-8390. And let me scroll back up here. Kelly Larson was a student when I was in the program, and I've done an interview with her here on Spark previously about yoga and health. She is a PhD candidate working on her dissertation, and and she's in Hong Kong right now, I believe. So she had posted this about Upward Bound. Kelly says, "This program made a huge difference in my life, and I am emphatically grateful to you, me, that'd be me, and Phyllis, and so many others that helped so many of us when we were teens. I'm incredibly sad to hear that the Luther College Upward Bound program is losing its funding. I would not have gone to college without it, and now I am a PhD candidate working on my dissertation. Thank you so much for all you do, Melanie. I understand the need for budget cuts, but I wish this wasn't one of them. Please accept this big, warm, grateful hug, Melanie and Phyllis." So that's from Kelly Larson. And her website is breatheintobalance.com. That one I know. Phyllis, have you heard from anybody, any stories that you want to share?
Well, John Edwards sent an email, and he expressed his regrets that we were losing the program. And he did say that if it wasn't for Upper Bound, he probably wouldn't even be here, because we entered his life when he was going through a really rough period of time. One of the things that happened while he was a student in our program, or shortly after, he went through cancer with his dad, who died shortly after John graduated from high school, and that was really hard for him. He was the youngest of 14 kids, and it was just, he was the kind of the son at home, and so it was kind of hard for him to relate to his dad, who was a much older man. But we talked about how his father was trying to share who he was with his only son that was at home. And so he followed some things. He started doing some things with his dad that they both enjoyed, and they became much, much closer. And so there's a richness that he has when he thinks about his dad that probably wouldn't have been there had it not been for Upward Bound.
Wow. Yes, and he has commented to me, too, over the years from time to time about, I hate to admit it, but I really did listen about that positive mental attitude stuff, Melanie. And sometimes the lessons that the students in the program learn and take away are seeds that are planted that
yes.
sometimes grow to fruition later in their lives when they're going back to school. And I'll share a little bit more from one of those young women shortly.
Well, I talked
I
to
don't,
one.
Go ahead.
Well, I talked to one of my, I was talking to one of my students, and I looked at him and I said, you see this book? And I was showing him the Seven Habits book. I said, you probably haven't read a lot of it. I said, but in 10 years, when you pick it up and read it again, and actually read it, you're going to say to yourself, why didn't I read this when they first gave it to me? Life would have been so much easier had I done that. And I think that is, that says a lot about where teenagers are just in their own personal development. It's sometimes it's hard for them to see that what we are offering them really is an easier path in life. To show you, to give you an idea of how dedicated our students are to our program, we have a young man whose name is Ron Vo, and he is he's a student who came who moved to here from Vietnam with his parents. They immigrated here, and he got into Upward Bound, and he just this week graduated from the University of Iowa with a pharmacology doctorate, and his older brother has a pharmacology doctorate. Both of them were in the program, and he came and took us out for lunch. And he said, you know, the thing I loved best about Upward Bound was when the alumni would come back and talk about what they did and how they got to where they are. And I looked at him, and we were having a weekend this past weekend, and I said, how'd you like to come and talk about it tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock? He said, sure, I'll come. That night we were out at dinner taking the kids to dinner. Two other students, Nick's younger brothers, Jim and Steve, also saw us. And we said, hey, we've got an opportunity for you to come and talk to our students. They said, yeah, we'll be there what time? 9 o'clock. So all three of them were there at 9 o'clock, and the session usually lasts about an hour. It lasted over 2 hours because they had so much to say about what their personal journeys had been and how Upward Bound had helped them on those personal journeys. And the students, you know, if you start at 9 o'clock, and you go over 2 hours, they're antsy, they're all looking up at the clock and trying to figure out how to get out of the room without embarrassing themselves. None of that was happening. The fact that these people came back to share was very, very important. And they said, here are our emails. Write us. Let us know what you need, and we'll help you because we're part of a family. Even though you didn't spend your Upward Bound years with us, you are still part of my family. And the kids were simply blown away by that.
That speaks volumes, I think, to the power of connection, the
yes.
power of shared experience, the power of caring adults who stay with you from that time where you're like, I don't think I'm going to go to college. Young man who has a master's degree in English and taught English in other countries. I remember sitting in front of me, I'm not going to college. I can't do college. I'm not good enough. It's 3 years, and junior year began to decide, maybe I can go to college. But it's that patience and persistence of staying with that student and believing in them before they believe in themselves.
Yes.
And with adolescence and all the changes that teens are experiencing, both physically and psychologically, and just in their brain development. That's another show altogether about adolescent brain.
Okay. Is it, though?
It is. We have to do that one. Because they don't come with manuals.
Nope. Well, one, I want to share one of your stories, because this will reveal a little bit about, it's not always easy being an Upward Bound staff person. And I remember when you were in New Hampton, the first few years that you worked Upward Bound, you would come back on Fridays almost in tears because you couldn't get through to this one kid. And he would not do anything. He just kind of hung around and didn't do very much and that kind of thing. And you were really frustrated with him, but you didn't give up on him. And we talked about there's going to come a point in time when his brain is going to get to the point where he was going to see what was happening. And when you came back, when you know, we had talked to him and we'd done all sorts of stuff, and he worked at Hardee's, which no longer exists in New Hampton anymore. But he worked at Hardee's one summer. Oh, I'm not going to college. I'm working on the farm, and I got a job at Hardee's, so I'm not going upward bound. And you came back that first day from New Hampton, and you still were in tears because this child said to you, "What is all this college stuff about? I think I might want to go to college." And when we sent him his evaluation, you know, to send us a couple years later, kind of, "What have you been doing?" He said, "Well, I'm finishing up my 2 years at NIAC. I'm going to transfer to UNI. I'm going to become a math teacher. And then I'm going to work as a math teacher for a while. And then I'm going to go back to school and get a degree in counseling. I'm going to be a high school counselor." This all from a child who spent 3 years not wanting to do anything and not wanting to make any decisions, not wanting to be involved. And then he ends up being a high school counselor, counseling the same kind of kids that he was. That's what it's all about, having them have the success in their own lives. You know, and you have to, you know, have that to hang in there with them till they get to the point where they can see they can be successful.
Absolutely. That's before I knew as much about the adolescent brain as I know now. And I'd forgotten about that until you brought it up. But, oh, my gosh, I do remember. Did just enough to stay in the program, just the minimum amount of stuff. And then just was in the room while everybody else was doing things. And, again, that just hanging with them and having the faith. And that was a very, very big lesson for me, because I think that was somewhat early in my career with the program. And there were a number of other students and people who later on at reunions and surprises of people who are getting advanced degrees, that just people went, "What? He's doing what?"
Because
when they were students, they were not about that at that point in their lives. But the seeds were planted and nurtured at that point. And so it's just getting to hit that tipping point, whether from the staff or from their fellow students, because with those bonds across schools, because while you may not be in the cool group in your school, in Upper Bound, everybody's in the cool group because you're all in the same group with the same experiences, which does wonders for self-esteem of young people. So let me share another story that I shared. And this is from Lori. Now, Lori, oh, my gosh, how many of her siblings were in the program, Phyllis?
Which Lori King?
Lori King, yeah.
Just Deb and, no, Deb, Paul, and Mike. Mickey,
okay.
Excuse me.
Mickey, yeah. Well, Mickey, Mike, Michael, it depends on where he's at in his life.
Yeah.
What his name is. She had also posted, and she said she wouldn't be able to listen or call in live tonight, but she did want to share just how much she appreciated what we as the staff had done for her, and her summers at Upper Bound for her were the best because she felt as though she lived because of those summer experiences. When her mother passed away, she was only 11, and Phyllis came to the funeral because she knew our family. She went through, there it goes, four of the 11 siblings. And that summer, Nick had to come home from Upper Bound because of the funeral, but he got to escape the sickness of my mom's disease while in the capable hands of people in the Upper Bound program. I have a college degree, have served my country in the armed forces, all because I had that program to show me I could. Thank you, thank you. It's a shame I will be writing my incapable congressman and letting them know rural Iowa doesn't need a handout, but we need a hand up. And that is what Upper Bound is about, a hand reaching out to the youth and holding fast, even though letting go is sometimes easier. God bless. I remember that summer. That was a very hard summer. And there are a number of summers where we had students who dealt with the death of a parent or a divorce situation.
Yeah.
Or challenges with a sibling. And so it's not only about the academics, how to live through all of the emotional ups and downs that happen. I'll share one more, and then we can go back and see if we have any other callers. Tim Palmersheim wrote that he was sorry he can't participate because of the short notice. I'm thinking we should do another one of these, Phyllis.
Yeah.
That so the people who are unable to with a short notice will be able to join us. We'll have to talk about scheduling that. So those of you who are listening to this either live or are downloading the podcast, keep an eye out on Facebook and social media because we will offer another opportunity. Tim writes, I'm sorry I can't participate. I wouldn't be able to begin to explain what the program has done for me or my sister Michelle for that matter. It's hard to delineate where it was Upper Bound as a program or the staff is caring individuals that impacted us so much. It's hard. The program itself is really nothing without the people behind making it happen. I always tell people that it was the place where I learned how to learn. That experience was an essential piece in my personal development, and I've carried it with me every day of my life. Although the funding is gone, the impact is permanent and still paying forward, and all of us have experienced what the Luther College Upward Bound program provided us. Just remember that the program will always continue in many hearts and in the actions of thousands. Tim. We don't have any other callers on the line at the moment, Phyllis. So we were talking about the grant process, and you had just shared about the additional questions.
Oh, yes. Those were three. You could get 10 with those three different priorities. You could get 10 additional points that would help. So if you're a returning program, you could get a maximum of 125 points. Well, the cutoff of the grants that were funded, from what we've heard from Washington, D.C., was 108. So that's, you know, and I think they funded, I'm not going to take a guess. I can't remember what it said, how many they funded. But about 18% of programs that were returning programs did not get funded. And pretty much most of them were most of them were rural. In the state of Iowa, most of the programs that have the high rural population that they work with, they're the ones that were not funded or were not successful in this last grant writing cycle. And I've heard from several people who want to help us help Congress to find sources of money that will help, you know, refund these programs. As I added up the number of students in all the programs in Iowa, it was 512 students. And, you know, as you look at the millions and millions of children across the country who qualify for these programs, 512 doesn't really sound like a whole lot. But every child is precious, and every child should have the opportunity to gain the skills to learn to be successful in college. We know in the state of Iowa that a lot of students go on to college, but they go, but they don't finish. But if you look at the Upward Bound students not only go, but the vast majority of them persist through the process, and they do end up graduating. Some of them after years of being in college. One of the young men that spoke on Saturday, he said it took him 7 years to graduate from college. He changed his major when he was a junior, so he had basically start all over. But he loves what he's doing. He feels empowered. He feels successful, and that's what we're trying to help our students do. We had one student who told me he wanted to be a doctor. He was a sophomore in high school, and I said, "Well, it's going to take hard work, but if you're willing to do it, we will help you get through this process." And as I sat in the back of Vets Auditorium, because I told him, come hell or high water, I will be at your medical school graduation. And we had our staff orientation starting the next day. And I was there in the morning watching and jumping up and down screaming in the back. And then after we finished that, we had lunch, and I came back to Decorah in time to start working with my staff to start the summer program. Being able to work with students through the process and ensure and let them know that, yes, we will be with you through this process. You can call us. You know, you'll remember we got our 800 number so that our students wouldn't have to pay to call us. They could just call us on the 800 number, talk to us anytime. Now that we have cell phones, they can call. My cell phone is the same cell phone that I use for my business. It's my personal phone, and it's one of my business phones as well. And so my students call me all times of the day and night, and they'll use my home phone to call me because students don't, you know, in Upward Bound, it's not a 9-to-5. Students may need support 24/7, and you have to be willing to be there and know it's just like your own kids. You can't, if your child is crying in the middle of the night saying they have a stomach ache, you don't tell them, oh, walk it off, I'll see you in the morning. You get up, you go, you attend to it, you see what you can do. And you get them in a place where they are comfortable and they feel good about where they are so they can go back to sleep because they know something will be done about whatever is troubling them. And we are, for some of our students, we're second, third, fourth parents because they know we will be there for them. And even our current students, we've told them we're basically going to just take it electronic. I've been talking to students today, and I said, you know, I live in Decorah. I'm less than 30 minutes away from most of our students. I said, I'm here. You can call me. You can come to my house, whatever. I can come to your house. That's not a problem. Because it's about being there. It's not about the money that I was paid or anything else. It's about being there for my students and helping them get through the crises and survive the treacherous waters of being teens.
And I think that speaks volumes for most of the people who work in TRIO programs in Upward Bound. They have a passion for supporting young people to be successful. And so as this process unfolds in the adventure for what is next, we'll talk about that in just a minute. A couple more I want to share here before we go that route, though. We do have a caller as I flip screens. Area code 319, your microphone is open. Welcome.
Hi, Melanie. Phyllis, Ken Friedhoff from Elma was in the program.
Oh, my gosh, Ken.
Hi.
Would have been, 86, 85, 84.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's kind of awesome. We all got hooked up on Facebook, you know, a year or two ago and kind of touched bases with everybody again. Got back in touch with Dave Fosberg and Lori King and Teddy Bateman and all them. And it really good. I was shocked. I hadn't been on Facebook a little bit and noticed the post from UB and Phyllis about the funding, and I was just stunned. It's, you know, it's one of those things where maybe we take for granted it was always there and always figured it would be. And then all of a sudden it's not.
That is shocking.
Yep.
So, Ken, what? How did Upward Bound make a difference for you?
You know, coming from a small town, it prepared me to interact with people from all around. And I wasn't used to a lot of the different personalities and stuff, and so it kind of got me out of my shell, out of my comfort zone. And, you know, it prepared me, you know, once I left home that I was, you know, I was prepared to go out and do that, go to college and you know, get a job and continue on and, you know, make friends and so forth. It's just, you know, that's just not only the students that participated, but the different staff members we had and, you know, the different activities we did and the educational programs. It was just, you know, I can't pin any one thing down because they were all, you know, they were all fantastic as far as I'm concerned.
There was a lot of diversity in the people in the program, and learning how to get along with people who are very different from you and still have respect for them, even though you are different. You're right. It's a very powerful lesson to learn before you go off to college. Remind me, Ken, where did you go to college?
It's now Mount Mercy University in Cedar Rapids.
Okay.
It was Mount Mercy College, but it turned into a university a couple of years ago.
That's right. And you're doing law enforcement, right?
I started in law enforcement, and now I work for the University of Iowa. I'm in there, actually, for their police department, but I'm in charge of the security division part of it. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting. During the summertime, I get to interact with some UB students on the university side of it. They house in our dorms there over the summertime, so it's kind of funny. You start in one area and end up in another area, and you can't get away from Upper Bound.
Well, awesome. I am so glad that you called, Ken. Thank you very much.
So am I. Good to hear your voice.
Well, you know, it's nice hearing both of you, and I sure hope for the best that, you know, it truly was a great program and produced a lot of great people.
Well, thank you. We agree, because there are a lot of successful adults
that are
doing great things in the world. So I'm glad that you're one of them.
I am,
and
too.
Stay connected so that you can help out with whatever next steps come. And that's what we're going to go talk about in our last few minutes. Thanks so much for calling, Ken.
You bet. Take care.
Yep.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was indeed a blast from the past.
Yes, and even though we are connected on Facebook, it's still, we do reunions from time to time, but not the same people can make it, depending on schedules, and so that was good to hear. Bryant Rickard had shared, too, that he's going to be on a flight tonight during the show, and he shared that if it wasn't for Upward Bound, I sure would not be where I am today. The staff challenged me and told me I can do whatever I set my mind to do. I was not in a good place at that time and felt I couldn't be successful with much. They helped pave the path, helped me to realize otherwise. I'm truly grateful for these women, the program, and all the teachers and college students who gave their time and talents to all of us students in the program. The ending of the program is a shame, and whatever we can do, say, or influence to keep it funded, we must, capital letters, do it. And there is also a post from Shannon Kelly-Zwack, who was a staff member in the program, and she writes, Upward Bound helped me become a better teacher before I was a teacher. She worked for the program as a college student on our summer staff, and she goes on to say, having the opportunity to be part of the staff gave me an experience to see students as, quote, real kids, unquote, rather than just students. I wouldn't have traded those two summers for anything. Upward Bound is the reason I fight so hard for my elementary students to believe in themselves now. It's never too early to start. I love Upward Bound. Now, Shannon. So, Phyllis, at this point, for the people who want to do something, is there something that people can do now?
Well, basically, I've got a conference call set up. Well, they set it up through our national organization, Council for Opportunity in Education, for tomorrow for directors who have been defunded to talk about and to look at what they're going to be doing on a national level. And so that's not out yet. And Coletta's grandson, and I won't mention his name because, you know, I shouldn't,
right.
he wants to help. And so he's been probably today, we're hoping that he's had contact with people today, because he lives in the D.C. area and works with politicians and stuff like that, that he's been saying some things about, you know, the fact that these rural programs were being destroyed by not being funded. Part of it is the budget and the demands that certain groups have on balancing the budget and making sure that, you know, we don't go so much more into debt, which I can fully understand. But the people that are going to help us get out of debt are the people that we serve. If it hadn't been for us working with the students that have called in, the students that you've read about, they would not be able to give into the system at the level that they are giving into the system. You know, if you're looking at, well, here you have a typical teenager who works at McDonald's. Well, that's good for a teenager, but it's not really the salary. You don't want a teenager's salary if you're an adult, working adult. You need to have more money. You need to have college education so that you can get a better paying job, basically. And so students that we had that probably would not have been kicking into Social Security and into taxes on a high level are now able to do that. I mean, as you know, we've got doctors, lawyers, television producers, other people who work in the media, people who teach. We've got college professors, different people. We've got students that have PhDs in various areas, you know, that would not have had those unless it had been, what they're going through Upper Bound. That's how they were able to get the fortitude and the knowledge necessary to be able to go into those areas of expertise.
And I do, I just switched here and posted, I'm reading, interestingly, the young woman that I talked about her name is Angel, and she and her husband are both alums of the Upper Bound program. Have a beautiful family that they've adopted, and she is now finishing her degree. And she writes, upon hearing the news, says, "Growing up, I had the distinct privilege of being part of a program that fundamentally and positively changed me in every single way, molding me into the person I've become. This program has now been defunded. My heart goes out to every single person who gave time, energy, and soul to help aspiring students in their personal, professional, and academic quests. If we are to suppose ourselves a nation where anything is truly possible, that any person with a drive and want to succeed, Upward Bound must be kept alive." And then Shelley added to that, "I totally agree with you, Angel. I sent Senator Grassley a message via his website. I'm a bit upset at this decision. Why is it when things get tough, they cut programs that are designed to shape and mold our kids, the very people that will and may one day run this country? I told him that these are the kids that will be voting on his Medicare one day. Laugh out loud, sad. I would cancel my cable bill, anything, before cutting my kids from what they need the most." So they're echoing what you had just said about the power of these programs. And as we're looking forward to next steps and hearing what happens, Phyllis, do you still have Wednesday night tutoring?
No. This was the last week of tutoring because the school year is ending. But one thing that I would encourage anybody listening to this to do is to continue to Facebook or to email me, GRAYPHYL at luther.edu. What Scott and I are going to be doing is all of these stories that people are sending, we're going to collect all of those, and we're going to send them to our congresspeople, and we're going to send them to our person in the grants office, and also to Arnie Duncan and the people on his staff who need to know that the decisions that they make truly impact the lives of children in this country.
And and the reason I asked about Wednesday is because my show regularly airs Wednesday, so I would like to invite you back next Wednesday night at 7 if that works in your schedule.
Yeah, that should work in my... Oh, hold on.
Uh-oh.
Something's happening Wednesday. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, let's just leave it then that... why don't you check your calendar for next week, and we'll see if we can get that decision made and posted in the next 24 hours so people have some lead time.
Sure.
Because the thing about this show is that once it's recorded, it's available. Those of you listening can download it. You can post it on your website. You can encourage people to listen to what this program does and invite them to be part of the solution to communicate the importance of supporting the youth in this country. So stay connected. and share your stories via email, or if you want to share, if you'd rather talk, if that works better for you, we'll absolutely give you another opportunity next week to join me here on Spark. It is my honor to do what I can to promote a program that I have personally experienced not only change the lives of many students, but also watched educators develop and improve as educators because of their experience in this program. Phyllis, thank you so much for being here tonight. I look forward to being with you again.
Okay, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. And until next time, listeners, think a teacher, someone who's made a difference in your life. And for those of you who are involved in Upper Bound programs, you can choose to be a pessimist or you can choose to be an optimist. Both are right. The choice is yours. Harvey McKay said something like that. So in this situation, if you choose to look at it only as a problem, there are fewer solutions that we see. If you choose to look at it as an opportunity, there's an opportunity to make a difference. And we invite you to be part of that solution, that opportunity, and to look for ways to make things better. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, stay safe.
Yeah. And for those Upward Bound people, be nurturing out there.
Thanks, Phyllis.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.